interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting episode BTWRLM 597. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed, because you don't know what you missed until you get behind the woodshed. And it's pretty much that simple. One thing we may not be free from for a while. And the next thing on the horizon I've mentioned previously in the Disease X line of fearmongery. And now, passengers suspected of having Marburg virus forced closure of a major German train station. Two passengers suspected of having the deadly Marburg virus have forced the closure of a major German station amid fears the highly infectious Ebola-like disease has reached Europe. Police cordoned off tracks 7 to 8 for several hours in Hamburg station, and travelers were cleared from platforms after emergency services in full protective suits boarded the ICE from Frankfurt. One of the passengers is a man said to be a German medical student, 26, who boarded the ICE train to Hamburg with his girlfriend on Wednesday afternoon in Frankfurt. During the ride, both developed flu-like symptoms. According to Bild, the student had previously arrived by plane directly from Rwanda, where he had contact with a patient whose doctor later diagnosed as being infected with Marburg virus. So it should be noted here, relative to that, the Rwanda Minister of Health, Sabin Nsanzimana, confirmed that the infected were mostly healthcare workers. Why might that be, folks? Are they healthcare workers only? Importantly, the article goes on to admit or explain, local reports had stated that two passengers on board have apparently been infected with the deadly eye-bleeding virus. So if it's so contagious as to have to close out these two tracks, how did the doctor obtain a diagnosis? We don't know if this is the outbreak that they were talking about of the original Marburg that was identified in 1967. They're not really talking. But we realize that it's a part of a body of people that we do know had probably required a certain thing earlier in the Great COVID. And the question is this a novel Marburg? Is this a lab-made gain-of-function novel protein that no one has told about and starts to present itself more profusely here as we move through here? And this is what I was telling you early on before the COVID swindle started. Be careful of the needle in the haystack, what they might be pulling out. And I'm not saying be fearful. I was telling you before, watch that this would be coming. So I mentioned in the past that when people would start bleeding from their every orifice of their body, that people would freak out. And this is the whole point about it. You see it right in this story. They already started to shut the whole thing down based on what? The first example of flu-like symptoms. And it was the local population that spread the eye-bleeding virus narrative among themselves. So this is a flu-like symptom freakout, as I told you. Nobody slows down and wants to really look first to see what's going on. I don't mean they go check and do the tongue depressor on the guy's throat. No, you find out from the doctors who are supposed to be doing this really what it is, instead of making up stories. But you see, populations make up these stories, and these people who exploit that love it. And I've been asking us for years, don't do that to ourselves. There's other ways to go about it. Take a step back, watch what's going on. Don't be a spreader of rumors. We're told not to be a spreader of rumors anyway. But don't expect the UK authorities to protect your children either from death or their owners from abuse. As we read Great Britain, unregistered chickens could land their owners in jail. What am I reading about that after the Marburg? Well, this is all the line of disease X's that have been coming on us since the pig's fly flu that made a prominence. And not the only one. That was not the first one, but that was the one that started to come in after these modernization things as well, back in, 2010, 2011 as well, the avian flu. So this is they start coming up. The stories were coming together. Critics cry foul at unhinged government priorities. Today is the deadline day for British chicken owners to register each of their individual birds with the state. From October 1st, it will be illegal to keep unregistered chickens in England, Wales, or Scotland, and the new law also applies to pigeons and birds of prey. I wonder if they're going to have to register that predator drone formally, the regulations are to aid preparedness for avian flu and similar diseases. And remember, right there, these things are novel. And so this is the telling you they're coming. These disease X's are out there. Again, not to be fearful, to identify what might be real and what isn't. We've got a question of they want to start utilizing this as a bludgeon to beat people down. There's an answer for all that I've talked about. Here it is in the news again, right, during flu season coming on, as I reported, 3 weeks ago. However, some observers are hinting that the new law, that Parliament is losing focus on the big issues. Former Conservative and UKIP MP Douglas Carswell noted, in Britain, from next Tuesday, it will be a criminal offense to keep a chicken without registering it with the authorities. Clown country. Keepers are now legally obliged to review their records annually and keep DFRA informed of their bird ownership. Those who do not comply risk a £5,000 fine or 6 months imprisonment. Coincidentally, the new regime launches within a week of the UK being formally declared avian flu free. The wording in the new law is pedantic, as one might expect. However, it does not move Britain any nearer to resolving the key question, namely, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, you'd cry foul, too, if that happened to us, wouldn't you? Right? Right? I asked that because we didn't get COVID swindle. I asked that because I told you they would come after our chickens. And I've understood you do that in Mexico, and you're going to be pretty much out of office pretty quick. I don't know if that's going to happen here. So I'm asking. You would cry foul, wouldn't you? Something more foul than that. I'm free because I pled guilty to journalism, says Julian Assange. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange urged European lawmakers to act against rising, quote, transnational repression of journalism by great powers during an address to the Parliamentary Assembly of Council of Europe, PACE, on Tuesday. It was his first public appearance since being released from prison in late June. Assange spent years locked up in a high-security prison in the UK. As your chicken non-registered, be careful, listen to this. At a high-security prison in the UK, as he fought extradition to the US, which had accused him of unlawfully obtaining and disclosing classified information relating to national defense. In June, he struck a plea bargain, such a bargain, with the US Justice Department, formally acknowledging some guilt and waiving the right to legal recourse through, for example, the European Court of Human Rights in exchange for freedom. Quote, I want to be totally clear. I am not free today because the system worked. I am free today after years of incarceration because I pled guilty to journalism, he told members of the PACE Legal Affairs Committee in Strasbourg. In his testimony, Assange recounted his legal predicament and what he called the, quote, campaign of retribution by the CIA under Director Mike Pompeo during the Donald Trump presidency. According to the media reports and other materials, the agency conducted an extensive surveillance campaign against the publisher, his family, and associates. It allegedly contemplated kidnapping or killing Assange while he was being protected by the political asylum of the Ecuadorian embassy in London. Assange said that while his personal story was harrowing, others in the same situation did not enjoy the same level of publicity and international support. Meanwhile, the world has dramatically changed for the worse since he founded WikiLeaks, he added. Quote, I see more impunity, more secrecy, more retaliation of telling the truth, and more censorship, he said. It is hard not to draw a line from the United States government's prosecution of me, it's crossing the Rubicon by internationally criminalizing journalism, to the chilled climate for freedom of expression that exists now. The U.S. successfully abused European legal proceedings to retaliate against a publisher and has been emboldened to use the same playbook again as our other countries, Assange claimed. Quote, when powerful nations feel entitled to target individuals beyond their borders, those individuals do not stand a chance unless there are strong safeguards in place and a state willing to enforce them. Let me interject right there. This is the big hitch in the giddy-up. And I've told you over and pointed out routinely how many accountability statutes there are in the codes, in the laws, and you'll see the judicial branches not enforce them. You'll see all kinds of excuses. And we also understand behind the scenes on a couple of different levels the compromise that a lot of these officials apparently face. This is a very big statement. A state willing to enforce the law is absent, it seems. And then the state enforces only the law it wants, as you saw them coming against Julian Assange. And that will be for anybody, essentially. What he's saying here is when foreigners are subject, no one's safe. He'll actually bring up here that Americans may have a slight bit better edge, but people outside the United States do not. And so here we have the breakdown of our own, of the, well, it's a hypocrisy. We claim to have these high standards, and yet they don't come out in practice because the state will not constrain itself to justice. I said, I'll have to say it here because this is what he's denied, ultimately. Without them, the safeguards, no individual has a hope of defending themselves against the vast resources that a state regressor can deploy, he warned. Quote, the CIA drew up plans to kidnap and assassinate me within the Ecuadorian embassy in London and authorized going after my European colleagues, subjecting us to threat, hacking attacks, and planting of false information. My wife and my infant son were also targeted, Assange said. It's up to the European governments to make sure that the freedom of speech and the freedom to publish the truth are not privileges enjoyed by a few, but rights guaranteed to all, he concluded. Now, I'm not so sure I would agree with the right to freely speak is up to the governments anywhere to decide. Government is the few relative to the whole as well. The government has no say if it is an inviolable power inherent in mankind to freely communicate. And the fact that we can't is a serious problem that I don't know that people appreciate. The fact is that this has been criminalized is evidenced by the mistreatment of Julian Assange. In fact, this order that he had to agree to is forever going to be the stain of shame on the United States government. However, they may think that they got over on him and that he cannot get justice. This is now condemns the United States forever. For as long as people remember. I guess that could be wiped away from us soon here with the technology coming. But this mistreatment is the condemning factor here. Also, this evidence is that those government employees, so infringing, in the very least, must be imprisoned and banned from future government office or employment as well, as we come to terms with this as a people and figure out how we're going to stop this encroachment upon us. It's going to be harder in other places, but if we're going to be a pinnacle, a beacon in the United States, the American people have to take notice of this. Again, I said it's reflecting back on us, and it also is used against us. He's not talking about anything I haven't seen with the courts and justice and the Department of Justice and all that nonsense they tell us it's supposed to be here to serve us. And all it does is serve us up. So this is, to me, was a... That's why I keep reporting on it. This is reflecting to us exactly what we were already living while we speak in concepts of freedom and vote and cheerlead and all of our democracy and all this other stuff. So any funds also, or the benefits derived from government by an official who's or an employee that's been utilizing these tactics, and they use that for fraudulent representation or misrepresentation of lawful government authority, need to be addressed as well, need to be taken. Now, I'm saying that, and I'm spinning to the wind here. I'm explaining to my listener that this is what's imperative to figure out and solve and not wait too much longer. I'm not sure if people understand. You don't have a right to communicate freely what that's going to mean to your life in the future. And this is what you start to see with this question, the problem with censorship. It's the problem I was talking about in the last episode. We're talking about the pact for the future. They're going to shut you up. You get stuck to your little digital world, and they're going to shut you up. And over generations here, one or two already, you're stuck to your little phone, and you don't communicate with anybody anyway. You're habitualized out of and behaviorally controlled into relying on that little device. Another report on Julian Assange's testimony has him expanding in that injustice he faced, which is critical to start to understand how far-reaching this really is. And the consequence of the government attacking the acquisition, dissemination, and the speech itself is a cause of injustice. Assange plea deal with U.S. precludes appeals to top European rights court. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange said on Tuesday that one of the conditions of his plea deal with the United States was that he would not file a lawsuit with the European Court of Human Rights to challenge the verdict. Quote, "I eventually chose freedom over unrealizable justice. After being detained for years and facing a 175-year sentence with no effective remedy. Justice for me is now precluded as the United States government insisted in writing into its plea agreement that I cannot file a case at the European Court of Human Rights or even a Freedom of Information Act request over what it did to me as a result of its extradition requests," Assange told the hearing in Strasbourg. "This is exactly what I told you he was facing, that I've had to face myself on a much lesser level, certainly a lot less years, no less important about taking your life away. And you start looking at the problem, and you're looking at all the law you follow, and you're looking at that you're not a criminal, and you're listening to a judge that's just not going to believe that just because he sits on the bench and can say so. And you're dealing with a defense attorney, which they force on you, and that is not going to do much more than once his fee, so he can pay off his school, and I was told that by the attorney, as honest as this guy was. He laid it straight for me. And with all that information, I realized just what Julian Assange says here. It's unrealizable justice. And so I want you to pay attention to what he's saying here. We're already facing that as a society in the United States of America, and I don't think that people appreciate that. Some of us do. I'm not saying everybody doesn't. Some would just throw our hands up and say, oh, it's just a justice system, it's corrupt. But that's giving it over to them. And it's another, this whole situation here is critical to understand. This is why I started to report on it. I knew this is what he was facing. It's also why I changed tactics and started to say, you can't go into the courts. If you're in the courts, you made a mistake. No matter how good you think you sound, if you got into the courts on something that was clear cut, you probably made a mistake in the procedural side. And for then I got into and found out about the administrative law, and then I figured out you can keep it out of the courts as well there. And you got some leverage. Again, you're on the right side of the law. They don't have a record they can bring. And it's much more difficult for them to do what they do. And you don't never actually get into the court. When I start bringing the law forward, literally get crickets from the system. You don't get justice. It's unrealizable justice. Understand that. What you do get is you neutralize that problem that they're going after somebody else now. And what I'm saying here is not absolute. They want you bad enough, they want to hurt you, they want to make you an example, then they will. And this is what else Julian Assange is talking about. There's another prima facie reason the government agents attacking free speech must first show cause how what was acquired or disseminated, it was not protected against their holding and free from national security assertions as well. See, free speech cannot be conditioned. It's free. But this is what you've watched them do. And until we get a system that will require, before censorship, before anything goes on, that, again, due process, like a property, that you have to go through due process. We heard that in the cases, the Supreme Court cases. Agencies cannot, on their own, decide a property matter that has to go before the courts. And until that gets straightened up, and you are found to actually be having a national security interest problem before, this shouldn't even be reaching this level, and this will take away the power of the government to be doing it, and it'll be neutralized, that national security assertion they do, which seemingly clearly is fraud, especially when you're outing the government itself. It also prima facie evidence against the government in failing to lawfully create a public showing and an opportunity to respond instead of immediately being arrested and suffer those consequences. Being free to speech, in my mind, is no different like a patent, exclusive against the whole world, in each one of us. And when we allowed government, and they did this through this 9/11, PATRIOT Act and following, to take us out of that, and the courts allowed national security to trump our right to freely speak. And understand, that's why you heard the conditionings. Julian Assange made it very clear that they took into consideration the things the government would say was the problem for the government, like putting people at risk. And he's been clear that they did that, and it's never been found that he didn't do it. And so this is the thing I'm saying. The government was able to use this and exploit the weaknesses, and the judiciary's International judiciaries failed us as a people, global people, wherever we are. And so until we get this in order, you can expect more and more of the same in a pact for the future that the UN, by consensus, brought in to be agreed upon by these nations, is coming forward to become a bludgeon against all of us. And if we don't set that up, that there's no consequences, the usurpers are going to run free and going to go after someone else. They'll continue to go on this. He was precluded, and that tells you that's their Achilles heel. They know they can't have some judiciary review this. And so they wrote it into his freedom, his liberty to be free. He's not free. He's under a contract now, forever. Because this issue is the First Amendment is the they's enemy, whoever that they are, whoever these folks are, think they can run us down. And they're not thinking it, they're doing it. Because we don't see the accountability. He goes on to say, I pled guilty to journalism, to seeking information from a source, to obtaining information, to informing the public what that information was. I did not plead guilty to anything else, said Assange, while noting that it is hard not to draw a line from the government's prosecution of me to the chilled climate of freedom of expression that exists now. Assange had argued that all the legal defense mechanisms turned out to be ineffective and only existed on paper. And we heard that from a president, didn't we? Like what the Constitution is. Those are all notices to us that people don't really pay attention. No, they think the system is great, grand, and we're all free, and amber waves of grain and all that stuff. You don't know you've been an occupied people. There's actually the whole entire world is an occupied place. Quote, the experience of isolation for years in a small cell is difficult to convey. It strips away one's sense of self, leaving only the raw essence of existence, he stated, adding that none of the statements, resolutions, reports, films, articles, events, fundraisers, protests, and letters over the last 14 years should have been necessary. And I want to interject on that. I've told you before, property, patent law, land rights, disposed to the property owner forever, should never, ever be suffering, being unsettled, and argued over, is the same statement he says. The miners with property, as I've told you before, that have disposed to them the right to go take the mineral out of the ground by the Grant Act of Congress, are never supposed to be attacked. You're hearing here the global, not just by jurisdiction, the global destruction of law. So it's not a surprise that we see rules-based order coming out of the United States, and yet then some other countries say, oh, but we have international law. Well, those aren't laws. Those are norms of interaction. So you just heard a list of things that we should not have seen. It's the same thing I've said about anybody with a property. You should not be unsettled in your peaceful settlement. That's what settlement is in your land. That's what the sheriff keeps the peace. You're supposed to be kept from your enjoyment of the property. So this, when I said your right to a free speech is a property right, it's a property itself, this is the kind of thing I'm talking. And when you start getting onto the point of it, all our language will be the same when we discuss it. And he just did it here. A foreigner to the United States, Australian, in France, speaks the same as I would about any property right anybody has and has the right to be left alone in. And this is all, as I've explained, when I'm looking into what he was suffering in the past and considered what he was facing, at some point you realize the system for the corruption that it is. And it's not to say we didn't know that it's corrupt. This is don't get lost in that first trite statement. We know it's corrupt, but it was upon us to stop it. It was upon us to be able to defend ourselves properly. And then we walked into a system that was overtaken. And then we didn't stop that. So at some point you realize that corruption, this is the unrealizable justice. And based in that, you have to rethink the condition and what may be the best path out to fight another day and hopefully the wiser is what I told you I had to do and what he ended up having to do. And we're hearing that now. And I'm talking about this because it's so important to come to these realizations. This is not just hearing some story. You have to really, you almost have to get this experience. Because in the realization of the unrealized justice, it allows you to rethink what you're going to do and how you may address it. I've explained all these in my experience. When I face the same reality, the unrealizable justice, despite all the written laws to the contrary, and this is a thing pretty shocking. You're talking to someone, says he's a lawyer, and you're talking to him about law, and he goes, the judge doesn't care about all that. He doesn't believe, the jury's going to believe that you followed the law. What are you going to do with that? It's black and white, it's right there, but you're not going to be able to bring it to the jury because the judge is not to let the law there to show them that you followed the law. It's no way to get out at that point. So despite all the written laws of the contrary, that all the legal defense mechanisms turned out to be ineffective and only existed on paper is exactly what we come to. And at that point, we are obligated because of the way the place is wired and our own dignity to decide how we're going, well, to decide whether or not we're going to let us continue to be oppressed or whether or not we're going to start to figure out where is our place within the resistance and overthrow of an occupation. No different than we're hearing the illegal occupier and belligerent occupier called the State of Israel. And I told you, Gaza was the open-air prison reflecting the United States. If nobody knew, we're seeing it there. And so when I experienced this, and I see these words, back then, that's when I changed all my tactics. I also started broadcasting to try and help people avoid such surprises and buffer, if not eliminate, being a party to injustice, even if to position that neutrality that I talk about. Though that's not a complete justice, it's better than being run down, becoming part of the meat grinder. And I think the power Julian now possesses is that of the objective witness to the wider world, which must decide what do we the people in the world, want better for ourselves, and how are we going to wrest the unjust future from the occupying tyrants to bring justice back. So clearly, the tyrants are not going to stop on their own. This is absolutely the evidence before us. The illegal, belligerent, occupying Zionist Federation movement operating under a color of a lawful state, unaccountably committing war crimes, including genocide, should be that concurrent proof of all that. Justice is not in the tyrant's capacity, let alone their vocabulary. And John Keary voices that treason when saying the First Amendment to the United States Constitution is a barrier. Adhering to moral principles and justice is always an obstacle to a criminal, especially a war criminal. Well, it is once people require accountability and make sure legal defense and accountability mechanisms are not ineffective and only existing on paper. But we the people in the United States of America were told that our Constitution wasn't but a piece of paper, right? Now, you watched how they used the PATRIOT Act and then their finagling of the legal terminology to then allow extrajudicial killings. And they went ahead and they done it. They done it like they done 9/11. The setup. European lawmakers recognize WikiLeaks Assange as a political prison. And so we're getting the fruition now of the world voice coming back to show how bad this was and what we are. We all are at some point. If you think the information, the disinformation, the censorship, the locking down of free speech doesn't make you a political prisoner, I'm talking to every one of us that's ever tried to say something. Wherever we said it, is being constrained. And we saw, as I read, the pact for the future is exactly what they're coming after. Notwithstanding that, the same people in Europe that are going to sit there and agree with the UN recognize, some lawmakers recognize, that Assange is a political prisoner. The Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, PACE, P-A-C-E, which brings together lawmakers from 46 European nations, recognized WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange as a political prisoner on Wednesday, a day after he gave testimony on his treatment by the U.S. and the U.K. authorities. PACE said that Washington's failure to investigate war crimes and human rights violations disclosed by WikiLeaks, combined with the harsh treatment of Assange, suggested the U.S. purpose in prosecuting the whistleblower was to hide the wrongdoing of state agents rather than to protect national security. I'm going to interject and tell you to analyze that statement and apply it to Palestine. And what the illegally belligerent occupier State of Israel, so-called, is doing there is no different in the United States hiding war crimes and genocide. It's their modus operandi. For its part, the UK had failed to effectively protect Assange's freedom of expression and right of liberty, the parliamentarians said, exposing him to lengthy detention in a high-security prison despite the political nature of the charges against him. And I said exactly the same thing. The UK judiciary failed. And so a lot of people maybe think this is not such a big deal. When your judiciaries are internationally failing, nobody can say there's law. When there is no remedy, when there is unrealizable injustice, see, I don't think people pick up on this. I said it a couple times. He said it. When there is unrealizable justice, there is no law. Because every lawful law has a remedy against the law. If there's nothing but unrealizable justice, there is no law operating in the world. This is so serious, I'm almost speechless, and I got to get back to the next tab as we move along to watch how they're incrementally taking all this away from us. This is an important story. Whatever you think of Julian Assange, whatever you think he did, although the exposing of the machine gunning of the Reuters journalists in the street by a helicopter, whatever you think about all that, what we're talking about here is today is exactly the exposure of a world without law, though that these people will profess that they are always using the law. And in fact, they even hesitated there when we heard about the rules-based order. There's no such thing. You just invent it up because you can't follow the law. You can't even follow the international norms. You've gotten so bad, so evil. So while the government reacts violently to being scrutinized, surveilled, and called out for its crimes, all the cheap-powered AI needs something to do that we were talking about last episode. Microsoft and Bill Gates is buying up all the nuclear power, the cheap nuclear power to run themselves. They need this power to do something, and they're going to monitor the Siberian Gulag inmates. Well, the government itself hates the scrutiny. FTC staff report finds large social media and video streaming companies have engaged in vast surveillance of users with lax privacy controls and inadequate safeguards for kids and teens. So read in there, if you will, if you didn't understand that, and jump to the point at the end. This is going to also be a promotion for the need of more regulation. But understand they're already pilfering your stuff. That great profit, we've heard. A new Federal Trade Commission staff report that examines the data collection and the use and practices of major social media and video streaming services shows they engaged in a vast surveillance of consumers in order to monetize their personal information while failing to adequately protect users online, especially children and teens. The staff report is based on responses to 6B orders issued in December 2020 to 9 companies, including some of the largest social media and video streaming services: Amazon.com Incorporated, which owns the gaming platform Twitch, Facebook Incorporated, now Meta Platforms Incorporated, YouTube LLC, Twitter Incorporated, now X Corporation. But yes, your precious X is on there too, your X Twitter, Snap Incorporated, ByteDance LTD, which owns the video sharing platform TikTok, Discord Incorporated, Reddit Incorporated, and WhatsApp Incorporated. Quote, the report lays out how social media and video streaming companies harvest an enormous amount of Americans' personal data and monetize it to the tune of billions of dollars a year, said FTC Chair Lena M. Khan. I'd like to think about that. Why don't they just go ahead and why don't we just demand a big kickback? Maybe that would be the equity in that. Maybe there's justice in some of that. While lucrative for the companies, these surveillance practices can endanger people's privacy, threaten their freedoms, and expose them to a host of harms, from identity theft to stalking. Several firms' failure to adequately protect kids and teens online is especially troubling. The report's findings are timely, particularly as the state and federal policymakers consider legislation to protect people from abusive data practices. The report found that the companies collected and could indefinitely retain troves of data, including information from data brokers and among both users and non-users of their platforms. Can I repeat that last part? Both users and non-users of their platform. The staff report further highlights that many companies engaged in the broad data sharing that raises serious concerns regarding the adequacy of the company's data handling controls and oversight. In particular, the staff report noted that the company's data collection, minimization, and retention practices were woefully inadequate. In addition, the staff report found that some companies did not delete all user data in response to user deletion requests. The staff report also found that the business models of many of the companies incentivized mass collection of U.S. user data to monetize, especially through targeted advertising, which accounts for most of their revenue. It further noted that those incentives were in tension with the user privacy and therefore posed risks to user privacy. Notably, that the report found that some companies deploy privacy invasion tracking technologies such as pixels to facilitate advertising to users based on preferences and interests. And as I read that, I just wanted to quickly go aside here, interject. Apparently, Mozilla is actually engaging in some of this while they tell you that they're a privacy browser. So this money that they're trying to make is a big draw, and partly why I try to stay myself, I try to stay anonymous because of this tracking around that they do. And they continue to figure it out. And then AI, they get this AI on it, and then they get it even worse. And they're kind of underpinning the, they're not really declaring what kind of harms you can have. You've got stalkers that come up. They get this information. Remember all the hacking that goes on. And pretty soon you don't know you're vulnerable to somebody and get blindsided by something, whether it's just your accounts or you yourself, right where you live. So don't underestimate the potential problems as we build up more people looking for more advantage, to take advantage of the unsuspecting. It further noted that those incentives were in tension with user privacy and therefore posed risks to users' privacy. Notably, the report found that some companies deployed privacy invasion tracking technology such as pixels. So rereading that and saying this is what they're starting to do with Mozilla, even though Mozilla is saying we're not doing it. And who are you going to call? So it becomes very serious, the problem here. Additionally, the staff report highlighted that many ways in which the companies fed users and non-users personal information into their automated system, including the use by their algorithms, data analytics, and AI. And let me just add again and remind you, AI is a fancy name for nothing more than machine learning. It's not artificial intelligence. Remember that. This is just another tool, a computer tool. And this machine learning is what a machine does. I mean, it's just how you program. That's it. That's all they do. There's no thought involved. But anyway, the report found that users and non-users had little or no way to opt out of how their data was used by these automated systems, and that there were differing, inconsistent, and inadequate approaches to monitoring and testing the use of automated systems. But what is that really about? Well, it's about the children, of course. As I've been talking about, this is our Achilles heel is our own little ones. Several firms' failure to adequately protect kids and teens online is especially troubling. Furthermore, the staff report concluded that the social media and video platform services didn't adequately protect children and teens on their sites. The report cited that found social media digital technology contributed to negative mental health impacts on young users. The staff report found that the social media and video streaming services often treated teens the same as adult users. And one recommendation of many for future legislation to save the children is that the companies should recognize teens are not adults and provide them greater privacy protections. And the only thing government has come up with to save the children in the digital realm is to require digital ID from you as an adult. The problem of many with that is giving the Siberian Gulag wardens all the data this reporting staff wrings its hands over is being wrongly used already, whether or one opts out or not, or is a non-user. And how would a non-user opt out anyway? Shows you how pervasive this insidious encroachment is. This sort of legislation presumes everyone guilty of being a child unless they can prove otherwise. And to prove otherwise requires putting on the shackles of the government regulable property. And if truth be known, committing fraud, agreeing to be an artificial status for those government gave benefits. Whether people know it or not, they are being devoured by a commercial exploitation state as they watch and continue to voluntarily participate. For instance, ex-Twitter is named in an article to derive massive profits by exploiting its user participation. How many have a check mark of color that got that without giving any further information is likely zero to make any ongoing payment or to give up intimate details, your bank account or however that would work, than just to set up an anonymous email. They don't allow all these anonymity. This report says the data is used to make Elon Musk massively more wealthy through back-channel profit-making deals, and people champion him as some free speech protector. And yet they'll pay their money and they'll give their data to their bank account to him. Is your speech free, if that's what they demand in trade? Haven't you paid for it dearly with your loss of privacy forever? Yeah, it's all kind of like that. How easy it is to enslave people in the digital age. People will freely pay for their digital exploitation, but won't donate 99 cents to reallibertymedia.com to provide information on limiting one's exposure to these very same exploitations. It's amazing as I look at all this, and people wonder why we have problems in this country. And why did that come to me? Because it occurred to me, after I asked for donations to allow the next phase of the work needed at RLM, that if each of the more than 20,000 listeners I told you we're now getting, and there's actually more than that coming, slowly, as Sound Minds builds this syndication system, 20,000 listeners that listen through the various syndication channels, if each would give a $0.98, whether because you thought the information was valuable to you or whether you were altruistic enough to say, I'm not interested in keeping that shackles of government plantation slave off me, but maybe this information could help someone else, I'll donate for them. We would have plenty of money to fulfill the needs of this network without any exploitation whatsoever. Why my work is not worth a $0.98 while social media companies exploit their willing participants is something I can't wrap my mind around. Even being free is any sort of intention in people anymore, if that's so. Why are we paying for a billionaire to exploit us? And then cheerlead that he's a free speech monger. He's not. So we need to do better for us. Again, looking at all the money per month that they ask, and people willingly get it, and I look over at how many hits we're getting on the syndication lines for this network, and we're not able to survive, and people vote with their money, so to speak, was a telling thing for me to see again. We need to do better for us. If we expect to avoid this dystopian Siberian gulag plan for us, and which we voluntarily support and pay for to enslave us, that COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act 2000, requires reasonable security measures. And this article speaks to the mere rule implementing the act for enforcement. Is presuming my listener of majority requiring ID presented to access a website a reasonable security measure or fraud coming out of the gate or not? Is the presumption of your majority as a guilt reasonable? How is it reasonably positioned of the federal government to burden the whole of society for what amounts to be the sole responsibility of mothers and fathers to their control regarding their sons and daughters? And for those of you that think my content is worth a $0.98, you're in luck. Yeah. I'm told they're running a deal here. Instead of a $0.98, you can donate to the coffee fund for $1 to keep this voice and that's heard by thousands going up. So head over to, you can go to https://ko-fi.com/real_liberty_media. I was told if everybody in the chat room gave $3 a month, we would pay everything that we need. Without all the exploitation, without all the harassment. And as I said, we're trying to make it so that the word goes out without having any ability to stop it. And when we get this thing running, some of my listeners will, you tech savvy people will be able to help in that. They'll be part of that. Again, we're trying to do something federated, a hybrid federation type condition as well. As I read, big tech government collusion. Biden, Harris administration, Mega, Google, and others launch AI partnership to combat disinformation and hate speech. Now, I just got into talking about Julian Assange, and I'm telling you the Pact for the Future is what they're doing here to shut down free speech. And the third party, big tech, is in on it with government. And here's the story. The current U.S. White House seems to be exploring every possibility that might secure another avenue for the opponents, and quite a few lawmakers referred to as collusion with big tech. The new scheme has just been announced that revolves around the AI and disinformation buzzwords. It includes the U.S. State Department, Meta, Anthropic, Google, IBM, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and OpenAI. It looks like quite an ensemble cast or unusual suspects right there. It's called Partnership for Global Inclusivity of AI. And it was announced by Secretary of State Antony Blinken, along with the decision to bankroll programs, quote, identifying misinformation using AI, close quote, with $3 million. When they all use the same terminology to describe the things that they will determine and control, as the United Nations referencing for instance, that Pact for the Future and its annexes, and I hope you pick those up when you look back there and read those, and those things are prohibited to interfere with whether by constitution or various international laws, can it all be considered that they have an interest of my listener at heart at all? Do these openly treasonous usurpers represent you, your way of life, or your property, or pertinent rights? I say treasonous. You might be asking how. We already have the evidence of the ongoing interference of these criminals can manipulate the voting population to overthrow your government. This is a national security threat. All these folks are in on it, in this article. We also saw that the effect of the consequence of the successful Great COVID Swindle campaign, for anyone having any further doubt of their power here to sway the public and your way of life, the way your government functions, that you want to believe is some place for you to live. The article goes on to say that not for nothing, the partnership was announced in New York City and on the sidelines on the ongoing annual UN General Assembly meetings, which have already pronounced some controversial decisions. Here, according to an official press release, Blinken was launching this and other initiatives, quote, to harness the rapid advancement of artificial intelligence to advance sustainable development globally. Anthony Blinken of the United States talking about advancing sustainable development globally. I get speechless, folks. I've been talking about this for years and years and years. Nobody wants to rise up and discuss it or get involved or figure it out. No one wants to come together. No one wants to figure out what they need to do, get in practice, to shut this thing down. People don't understand the insidiousness of it. We're listening to Julian Assange like it's some guy out there. It's happening right here. Censorship is this thing. They rear their head into two reports announced at the same time, the Global AI Research Agenda and the AI in Global Development Playbook. It's about what your democracy-loving ancestors would warn you about without ever knowing about AI. Stunning here, folks. But fully aware of what the governments can and will do, censorship this time around centered around AI, introducing AI stamps that can be turned into flagging memes, satire, at the drop of a dime. The second report has more to do with the current White House getting all its ducks in a row, some call it collusion, in this campaign. Quote, whole of government governance and oversight frameworks that specifically address the misuse of AI technologies, close quote, is what's cited in the report, as well as private companies supporting, quote, exchanges of information between government officials, policymakers, workers, and their organizations and other stakeholders to voice concerns about how AI is designed and deployed in LMICs, developing countries, and factor this guidance into product development. And if you didn't hear about closed shop right there in that statement of who will be able to do this and who won't, I don't know what else to tell you. And this is their smart method right there. It's all listed right in there on what they're doing to keep track and make sure they're resilient against attack. What have I said about the dangers of whole of government and governance? This is not even a new concept. I talked about this, again, years ago. It's almost a constant thing. It just sits there, writing. No one pays attention to it. Remember, there's no such thing as whole of government in a federated republic of 50 sovereign states representing we the people of each their sovereign state. The head of the United States State Department, speaking through the United Nations, does not represent lawful national government. Rather promotes unlawful nation-state global governance. And I'm not saying anything new to anyone listening to me or has listened to me and that's doing the proper study or has done the proper study. The United States of America has been overthrown long ago in the post-founding father Lincolnized war of terror era transformation to the future that they want and the governance assault that is being foisted upon us is merely one of the last iterations to the more perfectus union globally. If you thought sustainable development was UN out there, no, this has been promoted by the United States, as I've been telling you repeatedly. The EPA is one of the pillars of that. And don't forget the UN building is in the United States. It's a tool of the United States. So you're hearing the more perfectus union globally right here out of the mouth of the chosen and undue influencers. And I don't know how to show this takedown any better, the way they're doing this, in this one article as well, and moving this through as I've been talking about it. And I certainly don't know why people continue to allow this threat to continue and blindly trust the plan or the pact for the future. They've never been told about it all, or by undeciphered coded messages as they promote the very political schemes and scammers and administrations of those schemers and scammers that got us here at warp speed even. Right, Snagglepuss? Can I reread that before for more clarity as restated from the article? Can we read this into the chosen influencers on top of this? So being so bold as to condemn the head guy at the UN, Guterres. Zionist-loving, Zionist-warmongering, genocide-committing, having the duty to see and stop violations of international law, or of which would cause a violation to congressional appropriations in the committing of war crimes, the repeat global terrorists, and the American citizen it's killing, Blinken says, and was launching this and other initiatives, quote, to harness the rapid advancement of artificial intelligence to advance sustainable development globally. Who else does he support? Who else does he speak for? Who does he speak to and for and not go to the Congress? And you tell me that which Congress critter, governor, judicial member, or other government employee does not wholly, no, not wholly, like a church, wholly support the Zionist Federation political movement. Another element of this takedown of America or sustainable development or both. Who? There's only a couple. It's pretty fascinating. And if they're not one, they are the other. Whoever they is, they aren't enough to stop this nationally if you don't locally. And for all the support this broadcast and this network does not get, this is one, if not the only broadcast and networks explaining how to go about doing that locally where you is. Globally. Review my coverage of, and before actually, the existence of the great Kobe swindle. And that lack of support by most of the thousands of listeners of this broadcast, even to buy a cup of coffee for the admin crew and their costs for all the hard work that they bring 24/7 now, is becoming a sore spot to me after all these years as I've been thinking here about that 20,000 issue and the lack of support to be the separate statement and truth and source that it need. I can't see how it's not needed in the world. So I'd ask again, please find the donate buttons on reallibertymedia.com or donate to the glorious elixir of life, I suppose. You can go to https://ko-fi.com/real_liberty_media. Please donate. Give Sound Mind something to put together for us that allows this word to counter these big tech companies that are coming to take people down and they don't even know it. Help us get the message out in a much bigger way than Grimner even envisioned. And this was the thing that excited me when Sound Minds and decided to take this on. Clean up the white elephant and make it go somewhere. That's all done so more people can hear how help themselves, as the they and their cohorts destroy our way of life and lives. Or they're trying to reach the population reduction goals that they're trying to go through. As we see them poking the bear, trying to move on to things like nuclear war for that nuclear winter because global warming. And I hope you did find that Threads movie and familiarize yourself, I trust. I hope so. So this does not end with the last Ukrainian or the last Iranian or even the last Russian. I'll put the link in the Threads movie link at the archive.org site. Watch it. Familiarize yourself. Get yourself on over to https://ko-fi.com/real_liberty_media. Please donate. This week kind of put an imperative in my mind. All the interactions and no support. And I don't say no and disregard that support we have had. I thank you very much for all of that. But trying to move this thing forward, when you see people like Assange going down with the global scrutiny on him, and he comes out with the same answers I did for my oppression in my little way. I told you, you start seeing people who go through the same experiences coming to the same truths, and you've never met them. You're standing shoulder to shoulder with people looking into a stinking abyss. And the question is, do you want to slide in or do you want to stay out? So I'll have that link to the Threads movie it's on archive.org. That's for the nuclear winter problem to cure global warming. That's how these psychopaths think. And they're using big tech to do it. And people embrace that and pay for their own enslavement while this is all going on. It's just a fascinating dynamic, I guess, if nothing else. Not observing what's going on in the digital realm and the social medias, as we can see, Telegram shares users' details with many states. CEO Durov admits. So not only do we get the report that these big tech companies are doing it, named Telegram is one of the rooms, the companies, we see Durov now speaking about it. Interestingly, after he got arrested. The platform has been cooperating with authorities in criminal cases since 2018, its co-founder and chief has revealed. Not such a closed secret, though. Since 2018, Telegram has been able to disclose IP address, phone numbers of criminals to authorities, according to our privacy policy in most countries, Durov explained, noting that whenever the platform received a properly formed legal request via relevant communication lines, it would verify it and disclose the IP addresses, phone numbers of dangerous criminals. Okay, well, how do you know you're dangerous criminals before due process is the problem? Durov revealed that in Brazil, for example, Telegram had disclosed data for over 200 legal requests since the start of the year and nearly 7,000 in India over the same period. We're talking criminals. What if somebody just believes you're a criminal because you don't believe politically the same way as you do? And they fabricate the story to make it look like you're some you're a criminal, and they hide the fact that it's a political hit. He also noted that there was also been an uptick in the number of valid legal requests in Europe in recent months, suggesting that this could be attributed to the fact that more EU authorities have started to use the correct communication line for such requests. Durov explained that the recent update to the platform privacy policy was only meant to streamline and unify it, and stressed that Telegram's core principles have not changed. I wonder if Julian Assange met with Pavel Durov in France when he went there. I wonder. But see, this is what I told you about Telegram. You go read the disclosure, the policies, and you, as I told you when I said I wasn't getting on Telegram, and that was the reason. You go read in their policies and you can see what they were going to do. This is not even a secret, really. There's no real protection. Now the added problem is we don't know, again, those keys. Who's going to get those encryption keys, if any? If they need to. He even admitted that they were working with Russia, even though he wouldn't go to Russia. They've already given up information. This is not new. The point is, we now hear from the other story. This is used to great profit and government control. And you see by the story, they presume you to be a criminal before due process. Staunch domestic enemy of the people, an advocate of foreign sustainability, being the former climate change Soviet czar. As I mentioned, Kerry, free speech makes U.S. hard to govern, John Kerry says. The Constitution is a barrier to ending disinformation, the former Obama administration official has claimed. So if you'll remember what I said last episode also about the coded terminology and the pact for the future being contributed to by the United States government, the ambassador there, another domestic enemy of the people, they're acting contrary to the established Republican form representative government with its constraints. And these usurpers intend to overthrow what is left of the American way of life and its protections. And to repeat that so it doesn't escape us, I'll reread what he says. The Constitution is a barrier to ending disinformation, the former Obama administration official has claimed. Speaking at the World Economic Forum panel on green energy last week, are you picking up how integrated all these concepts are? Kerry criticized the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, which protects freedom of speech and the press. It's really hard to govern, he remarked, arguing that social media poses challenges for building consensus in democracies. Did he say a mouthful there? Building consensus in democracies. Now, speaking to a republic, for sure, you're not talking about your vote meaning a whole lot. They just get a process that gains by record, not the truth, by record, a consensus agreement on the policy they put forward and the future that they want. I've talked about this process innumerable times on this broadcast over the decades. So first off, again, consensus is not truth. Secondly, he speaks at a WEF forum referencing our. So if you haven't participated, our consensus or our agenda, those ours, no, not time, the our is not you. He's speaking there about our. Thirdly, this treasonous demon does not recognize private decision making or the Republican form of government, rather preferring to impose consensus on democracies through administrative governance. Notice he says govern. The type of govern he's speaking to would take too long for me to parse through here, but for now, until you study the subject matter more thoroughly, notice he predicated this discussion on evading constitutional constraints in complaining about the First Amendment prohibitions. The governing he's speaking about and the governance therefrom abhors the law. It's a difficult thing. It's really hard. It is best summarized in the finish of his sentence where he says it's really hard to govern today. Notice in Kerry's original comment, the plural and the conjunctive and I warned about in last episode, consensus and democracies. Remembering, no one is left behind in this method and process is particularly the truth when you don't object at all. And there's a particular way to object. So no one's left behind in this process. And by not speaking to it, it doesn't insulate you from it. And this is why it's so important to bring up the law in their face. It's an obstacle to them. He says it right here. Those we and our consensus and democracy and positions are not we the people, but may appear to be the consent of the governed as they'll play it out, as they make it work. And so they hide again underneath an appearance of something. The referees we use to have to determine what is fact and what isn't have kind of been eviscerated, Kerry stated, adding that individuals now decide where to get their news. And that's a big statement. That's exactly what we've been talking about doing at RLM. But how dare you, folks, have an independent thought and an action outside of direct democracy consensus? This admits both that the corporate lame-ass prop media, the clap, right, Grimner, was expected to provide your truth and that your private choice to choose ye this day is a threat. The sources of information such as what you might get here behind the woodshed and this network like Real Liberty Media are the sources defeating, eviscerating the capacity building of the they to obtain the future we want, which is not you. Notice he said the referees we used to have. That we, as I said last episode, is not you either. And on ex-Twitter post, Killer Carey is imperfectly but close enough quoted as saying, the First Amendment stands as a major roadblock for us right now. That was a post from End Wokeness saying, John Kerry calls for a ministry of truth. The Newstis, notice Newstis article going on to say, if people go to only one source and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major drawback to simply hammering it out of existence, added Kerry, who served as the Secretary of State under Barack Obama. You see this consistency between Kerry and Blinken. So he wants to be able to hammer out free speech, club it like a baby seal without a warrant. What is cut out of this article is the very important qualifier Kerry adds in the video, if you go listen to the video in the article. If the source they go to is sick, has an agenda, putting out disinformation, and he goes on. Now listen to that, what he just said. This is like projecting. We know that the Smith Modernization Act allows government websites to be those sick, agendized sources, don't we? Evidence, the CDC and the great Comey Swindle Societal Reset. Getting behind the woodshed, if you didn't before, you do now, would be case closed. They're telling us what they're doing. They're telling us how to stop them. Additionally, did you hear him state and explain the double-edged sword that is being used against you by saying if you wield it contrary to government disinformation and misinformation or the cognitive warfare campaigns under any other label such as misuse, you are an eviscerating threat to those campaigns. So all I can say, folks, is he is admitting it's time for us to slice and dice. And if you're still not convinced of the potential power of supporting RealLibertyMedia.com, that they are really having trouble with us. I said last episode, the Pact for the Future admitted near defeat already, requiring that Hail Gaia Pact pass. At another WEF event earlier this year, Wall Street Journalist Editor-in-Chief Emma Tucker lamented the loss of the corporate media's monopoly on information. Quote, we owned the news. We were the gatekeepers. And we very much owned the facts as well, she said, noting that customers now have access to a broad array of sources. Amid increasing diverse, divisive election rhetoric, research suggests that Americans trust the media even less than they are willing to publicly admit. While 24% of Americans claim that they trust the media to tell the truth, only 7% believe it privately. I say good. But we don't need no stinking public admissions. What we need for RealLibertyMedia.com to continue to slice and dice the enemies from within or without is your generous private donation. Please find that donate button. Give what you can. Allow this next phase to finish. I'm bringing this up because we didn't get much of a response, if any. Not even in the slightest. And it started to make me think a bit. In face of this truth that we're the notice they're telling us of how bad we're hurting them, that we don't support ourselves is a real problem for me. When I'm looking at what I'm saying, and I don't know that there's anything that you're going to find really elsewhere when it comes down to what to do about stuff. When it comes down to identifying the future, you look into the future with this stuff. You have the eyes to see. We have a potential to make an unstoppable channel, which Kerry admits is killing him. Maybe even the unstoppable channel changer private media that Grimner set out to create. Remember, the original page has the little channel changer. You just select which content you want. So at least please buy Sound Minds and the crew a cup of coffee at https://ko-fi.com/real_liberty_media. Real Liberty Media. You'll find it. Look for the donation buttons. I shouldn't really have to be asking much. But when we didn't get any response in the last 2 weeks, it started to make me think of it. And doing that donation will allow the crew to get her more better done. And these sustainable usurpers are toast. If you will donate the coffee. He's telling us that. It was really kind of neat to watch what they're saying. They're squirming bad. we've really got them hooked up because of these sources, notwithstanding the Smith-Mundt Act. It's why censorship and misinformation and disinformation is a thing, why misuse is a thing. But the platforms that we're on are controlled by profit and the government. This is BTWRLM597. And to pay for all that, and another thing that's toast relative to this fiat system now, Chase abruptly shuts down. Listen, folks, what's going on? What's starting to happen? We talked about this before as well, but here it comes. Chase abruptly shuts 7 branches in just 1 week amid total closures of 14 from major U.S. banks. Chase has closed 7 of its local branches in just 1 week, forcing the customers to travel further for vital services. The bank, the biggest in the United States, was not alone in shuttering locations, as it was joined by the likes of Wells Fargo and Capital. The Fifth Third Bank, First Bank, and Citizens Bank also closed locations between September 8th and the 14th. The worst affected state was Ohio, seeing 4 banks closed in just 1 week, with other closures spanning from Wisconsin to New York. Scroll down here to see that list when you look at it, when you get the link. But over there in Ohio, they eat pets, don't they? Maybe there's a connection. But closing 55 branches or financial institutions, major banks are increasingly moving away from expensive brick-and-mortar branches in favor of online services. Survey data continues to show that online banking is quickly becoming the standard of how people bank, lead data content researcher and Go Banking Rates, Andrew Murray said. Most Americans find it more convenient than having to go into the bank on a lunch hour or early in the weekends, and so more adults who grew up with smartphones enter the market, its popularity will continue to grow, Murray explained. Most new online banks must work harder to compete with your business, frequently offering low to no fees. It's so cheap, folks. No fees. So clearly people prefer the Siberian Gulag for its convenience, we're told. And as long as you also pay for the phone, the service, and the loss of privacy, while the banksters offload the costs onto the clueless customer, people better make cash king real soon. They're phasing out banks. They're phasing out your access, what you think is your money. You can see very clearly it's not, just by this as well. It's not a question we're going into that brave new digital world. And while Cacklenomics guides you through the paddock to the digital gulag, the banksters have free reign over Kamala, mean Cackles Harris. The question, how is Kamala Harris tied to BlackRock? The international banksters, folks. Mike Pyle, a former senior aide to Vice President Kamala Harris, is said to be rejoining BlackRock in a move that will strengthen and close ties between the world's largest asset management firm and Washington, Bloomberg reports. Other Democrats also appear to have closed ties with the BlackRock. BlackRock co-founder Ralph Schlosstein was one of the first Wall Street heavyweights who endorsed Harris for the presidency in July 2024. Pyle was chosen by then Vice President-elect Harris as her chief economist in early January 2021, while serving as BlackRock's global chief investment strategist. In 2022, Pyle was made White House Deputy Secretary, National Secretary Advisor for International Economics, and played a leading role in pressing Ukraine into carrying out economic and government reforms in line with U.S. interests. Not yours, U.S. Us interests. Us is not we. We, the people. It's them. While Pyle advised President Joe Biden and Harris on reforming Ukraine, BlackRock struck an agreement with the Ukrainian government in November 2022 to provide advisory services to the Kiev regime, and in May 2023, Kiev announced its plans to launch the Ukraine Development Fund for reconstruction with BlackRock on its board. Apart from Pyle, Harris and Biden hired BlackRock employees Brian Deese and Wally Andayemo in 2021. Harris is not the first U.S. leader to hire the BlackRock alumni. Adeyemo and Pyle also served in the Obama administration, and Pyle was an economic policy advisor for the Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign. The Intercept reports that 2016 BlackRock CEO Larry Fink has assembled a shadow government from among the firm's staff for Clinton's future cabinet. Fink also hired Cheryl Mills and Bill and Hillary Clinton's longtime assistant and confidant. Harris inherited her BlackRock connections from her mentors, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, who Republicans have called the puppet masters behind the future Harris administration. I wouldn't focus just there, though. However, follow the money, folks. Look at the people that are now in places of position of decisions over your life that are forcing this whole thing into the future that they want. And you're totally out of it. And until you start making some firm choices on how you're going to run your future life for you, these people are going to win. I can't see how we're avoiding it. I can't see how we're stepping aside as a people. They're not going to make it easy. You're in a system that they control until we do what? Until we get out into gold and we get into silver. And we make that, it's the people's money. It's God's money, if you will. If you look at almost every reputable religion, understands the power of gold and silver. They have their names for it. That's why usury is condemned. I talked about that as well. A glimpse into that future digital debtor's prison of nations and people alike, and how to avoid it by simply avoiding it. World Bank seeking LGBTQ concessions to restart funding for African state. It's over there, folks. Look away. No, look over there and see what's going on. See how they do it to us. We never hear this stuff that's going on to us. But this is how they bring it down. Where do you think $35 trillion came from? What do you think it's doing? A debt. How stupid is this? The World Bank has said it is working with Uganda to resume funding to the East African nation following a year-long halt in response to the passage of an anti-LGBTQ law. But here's a hint on what to start doing, too, if you can. Local and international gay rights activists are opposing the global lender's latest move, calling it disastrous. The World Bank had previously stated that extra steps were required to guarantee that the project implementation in Uganda adhered to the bank's environmental and social guidelines. Can I remind you here as an interjection? This is the third-party liability, and now you're seeing it attached to a sovereign itself, the ESGs. If you don't think sustainable development is a global economic thing, that sentence should tell all of it to you. Even if you didn't know how comprehensive that is. He vowed that his country would develop with or without loans, declaring that Africans do not need pressure from anybody to solve their problems. And there you have what I've been saying about master, not a debtor, be, and your third-party liability to its professed obligations as token citizens in the Siberian Gulag. Absolute behavioral controls, by definition, is the loss of any sovereignty or principle you thought you had or could muster. This guy in Uganda knows that. He says, oh, we'll take the loan if you don't come with these attachments. Otherwise, we're going to do it ourselves. Exactly. The only choice is to be of the world subject, or in the world, of developing without loans in the fiat, or the products of the fiat system of the world. Stay out. He's saying that to us. Take wise counsel from him. Has anybody else ever heard that gold and silver is of God? And gold and silver money promises security? Not any fiat system will do that, though. But neither protects against God's judgment, do they? And so let's be careful on how we hold this together. But it's all kind of like that. The fiat is the devil's money, if you will. Gold and silver, you look through history, is the money that brings security. So choose ye this day here, folks. We're given the notices right up here in the news. They're telling us what we need to be doing. This president, Yoweri Museveni of Uganda, has chosen not to be part of that synagogue of Satan or the Gog from Mega. Pay attention. There is a way to escape, at least the fiat of the world. The promise with it comes as security in the monetization that we use as in communication with each other for value. And an example of the true nature of economics, the they intend for people while being touted and promoted as an economic reversal is being shown in Argentina right now. Argentina's poverty rate surges under President Milei's austerity program. So here we have these words again. Everything to take notice of. In spite of all the economists are thinking that he's doing well, this is just another iteration in the subjugation of a people. Bringing this nation into a 2030, austerity is fully in line, though, with the IMF for purposes of receiving loans and its environmental and social guidelines. As we read, Argentina's poverty rate has surged to 53% under the austerity program imposed by the government of self-declared anarcho-capitalists. It's self-declared anarcho-capitalists. Put a label on anybody, folks, but what are they doing? Watch their deed. President Javier Milei. After taking office as the president of Argentina on December 10, 2023, Milei introduced a series of new measures, including devaluing the peso, the currency, by over 50%. He also slashed subsidies for energy and transport and ended limits on exports as part of his shock therapy to fix the nation's economic woes. And I got to interject here. Yes, he's fixing it. Watch how he's transforming it and transferring it, though. Watch how he does that. They have serious problems there. I think the banksters used this to get in so they could readjust it. Because remember, the whole globe is moving to that other financial system. The reforms sent the country's hyperinflation hit economy into freefall as prices skyrocketed and ordinary consumers struggled to buy basic daily necessities. Milei has touted wins such as monthly inflation dropping 4% in July and the lowest in 2.5 years, and Argentina posted 6 consecutive monthly fiscal and financial surplus in June. But those successes have come at a high cost for the population. The government's relentless austerity is battering working families and the elderly, deepening the crisis instead of generating solutions. Victoria Tolosa Paz, a congresswoman for the Peronist bloc, posted on X, Twitter, after the poverty rate was published. Ahead of the data's publication, Milei's spokesperson, Manuel Adorni, defended the austerity program. He insisted that the measure had stopped Argentina from sliding into hyperinflation. Quote, they had left us on the cusp of becoming a country where practically all the residents are poor. So the government spending getting under control, where is the stimulus to allow Argentinians to dig themselves out by the government getting out of the way of their production? If he's been intending to make things better for the people and not the IMF, with that new, if you listen carefully what they also did, with that new $4.7 billion disbursement despite the country's failure to meet the terms of the $43 billion loan in recent months that he just obtained with all those sustainable austerity ESG servitudes attached that the IMF is praising Milei for, which Uganda just said to the World Bank, to get thee behind me, Satan. Because if the strength of the imperialist lies in disunity, as stated by Kwame Nkrumah, then the United States was created to allow imperialists reign. The United States, through the CIA and the UK, sought to remove Nkrumah. That they tried to remove Nkrumah highly suggests, if not is the testament to the point, that the United States is the imperialist that requires disunity. In Africa Must Unite in 1963, he warned, to ensure their continuous hegemony over this continent, they will use every and any device to halt and disrupt the growing will among the vast masses of African populations for unity. Just as our strength lies in the unified policy, the strength of the imperialist lies in its disunity. And so it be. We're likely the most divided we've been since the Civil War in America. Before anything can change for the better, division is going to have to be healed here. This place, as I said, is designed as an imperialist imposer. So to fix this, we're going to have to focus on something outside of ourselves. Literally. like really far outside. Scientists take new step toward unraveling origins of life. Scientists at Samara University, named after academician S.P. Korolev, for the first time synthesized the simplest ketoaldehyde methylgloxal in conditions close to space. The team was able to undertake the effort by irradiating ice, consisting of carbon monoxide and acetylaldehyde, with a stream of electrons in a deep vacuum held at helium temperatures. The researchers used time-of-flight mass spectrometry with photoionization by vacuum ultraviolet radiation to evaluate the result of the synthesis. The findings allow us to consider the synthesized substances are promising candidates for future astronomical searches. After synthesis in cold molecule clouds, methylgloxal can serve as the key precursor of sugars, sugar acids, and amino acids, said Ivan Antonov, associate professor at the Department of Physics in Samara University. We would like to answer key questions. Could the substances necessary for the evolution of life have been synthesized under cosmic conditions? What mechanisms lead to the formation of these substances? Ultimately, how unique is the existence of intelligent life in the universe? Antonov explained. I just thought the hubris to presume there is intelligent life in the universe. Maybe we shouldn't look out so far. Maybe not quite this far outside of ourselves, though. Evolution, part of God's plan, Orthodox Church leader says. Patriarch Kirill's comments come after some Russian lawmaker proposed banning Darwin's theory from being taught in schools. Charles Darwin's theory of evolution does not contradict God's plan, but only reinforces the idea of a divine plan, the leader of the Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill, said on Monday while visiting the Sirius Scientific and Technological University. Well, of course it doesn't, especially if people stop interjecting what Darwin didn't say. That is what seems to me to be what the main sustainable problem is, to give yet another clue how far back we can continue to go to hear the influence of adulterers of the truth, or gaining access, or unspoiled examples of what we're after. Why not just accept Darwin's actual intention? Why are we always restating these things? When you go read what the guy said, it doesn't really say what they're promoting. Just read what he said. Darwin was speaking to species adaptation, not evolution of the species as promoted. To use adaptation to describe a particular species modifying its original creation to one more adapted to a given environment, shift, the environmental shift that finds itself, given the time, essentially, as well. It's not immoral or contrary to religious education, as some critics contend, either. It seems immoral to read into Darwin's work, a religious man he was as well, an observation, really, of what he made, of any other interpretation or more than of favorable variations of an organism, which is what he was actually talking about. Equating, if we would equate better that evolution is adaptation, favorable variations violates nothing. The patriarch wouldn't have anything to explain. And in this sense, the adaptation and evolution is synonymous in this limited application. And this whole thing becomes a non-issue. Then the religious leaders wouldn't have to continue this adulteration through the belaboring explanation they tried to give to try and bring stuff together. I see the Pope doing this the same way. Because, anyway, thou shalt not commit adultery. This is the same style of sustainable terminological adultery committed by the minor demons of the world, right? I mean, with climate change, con artist Kerry, right? So I'm surprised a bit the religious leaders are not better inspired to bring a definitive clarity. That, then again, maybe that's another type of proof regarding organized religion. How sweet is the design that building block components are from the lesser inspired convinced of a species progression, rather than each species, its own creation, by those components, lesser or more, with the power of adaptation to a creative, if not brutal and deadly, even so, fallen world. they live and life goes on. How cool is such a design? Modular. We seem to look at all different species and they all have these similarities, very highly consistent. How cool is a design like that? Pretty neat. It never has man mimicked that at all. If he should still consider himself separate and all-knowing and all-seeing and all-so powerful and all that required to prove a divine point to extend to every doubt is really another question, isn't it? Where do we think ourselves so intelligent that we look at something with our limited senses and try to understand it? That our religious leaders try to conform so-called science with religion. And it's not necessary. It's a non-issue. If we stop this terminological adultery. This is how it's done. Evolution and adaptation are very similar words. I don't have a discussion past that if my thoughts are correct on this. But what they've done is adulterate, put words in Darwin's mouth, and they've made such a big issue, the they, make it such a big issue, that a religious leader, that it sounds like may not be so inspired, has to try and come back and unify our existence. And there's really no need. But extending to every doubt for intelligent evolution, Israel declares UN chief persona non grata. Foreign Minister Israel Katz has banned Antonio Guterres from entering the country for his failure to condemn Iran. So there you go. And such a useless organization, a feckless human being, pretending to be an enlightened peacemaker, the UN chief condemns Iran after Israeli outrage. Is not something I think we can rely on. From people we cannot rely on, no matter how chosen they feel. UN chief condemns Iran after Israeli outrage. Is an outrage. Secretary General Guterres has criticized for failing to denounce Tehran's missile attack. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has denounced the Iranian missile attack of Israel after West Jerusalem slammed him for failing to do so and publicly declared him persona non grata. Quote, it's a high time to stop the sickening cycle of escalation after escalation, the UN Secretary General said. This deadly cycle of tit-for-tat violence must stop. Time is running out. One thing I can figure, I was asking this guy, where have you been, Guterres? No, don't denounce Israel prior to this for the genocide of the ICJ just declared. The Zionist Federation movement operating underneath the color of a legitimate state of Israel is still committing these war crimes. Don't do something like declaring Israel persona non grata to the UN like it did in November 6, 1962 to the apartheid state of South Africa. No, bend over backwards instead while wringing your clammy little vampire squid tentacles to condemn Iran, having the right of retaliation for the Zionista Federation political movement international rampage, violating international law and attacking the sovereignty of Iran and other nations. So the UN, through this poor excuse for life, scumbag vampire squid, embraces and accessorizes genocide instead. You worthless excuse for a fulfillment of the proper ketoaldehyde methylglyoxal synthesis, Guterres. Where you been? And just as a note, UN doesn't make statements of persona non grata to nations. It's not recognized. That's why you go to the sanctions that were happened to South Africa when it was determined to be an apartheid state. And so we see everybody, these actors on a stage, not wanting to stop the killing of women, innocent women and children. And I say even the people that they want to call militants, the resistance. Remember, the people of Palestine are on their land. They're not the belligerent occupier. They have a right of resistance against all belligerent occupation. It's the nations of the world that are supposed to come in and help stop it when they can't. That's the moral thing to do. And yet we don't see it. And it's simply some criminal, war criminal in the world, given access to the UN, is allowed to say that to the UN, if it's supposed to be anything, if it's supposed to have any respect for itself, that it capitulates that quickly to a war criminal is just disgraceful. Again, I sit here quiet. I don't even know what more to say. What are we doing? We're witnessing the world. Look at the shape it's in. And it's all because there's no accountability to any moral sense. And yet we have religious leaders that will talk to the moral sense. Try to unify the oil and water, essentially. Oh, you get a little bit of mixing in the center, but it's not going to be what you want. Just to try and bring things together. Don't stand on a moral principle. Don't think there's stuff beyond us that we can't figure out. Oh, presume that we have intelligent life within us. It's pretty fascinating. If we are intelligent life, look around us. How intelligent are we seeing? And then this guy, Lindsey Graham, cares more for Israel. This disgrace that's in the world. And to the last Ukrainian laundering machine, so, as well. Then to the people of North or South Carolina, and thinks doing nothing more than merely traipsing around the demolished Appalachia countryside, tired as he be, you'll hear in the video, is enough to help Americans in catastrophic need. When you hear this video in this interview, you have to hear the beginning of it. It's very hard to hear it, but he's evading a comment saying Trump and Elon Musk were contributing to help in our American South and East. Lindsey Graham's response, to capitulate is compromised criminal, to capitulate to Israel, no different than that UN chief did. See, almost don't see any difference between them. His answer to that inferred position, because you don't hear the whole clip, is his statement is, but look what's going on in Israel. To the question of why other people are doing something to help the people in South and North Carolina, his answer is, but look what's going on in Israel. Is his criminal treasonous response to his inaction to help Americans. He ain't the only one, but he's one of the ones that, I don't know why he puts his face out, but there he is. It's just absolutely time to get rid of this American-hating, APAC-endowed, Zionist Federation movement-loving, warmongering, nuclear weapons-advocating, innocent men, women, and children murdering genocidal psychopaths. I don't even know how this guy got into office. I really don't. I listen to this guy, I just don't see how he did it. How do you, I've asked before, how do you people in South Carolina put up with this vile creature to represent you as a state? Now, I'll leave the link in the broadcaster to hear the short interview clip so you can decide for yourself. But it's truly disgraceful what passes for a state representative anymore. The description from people on the ground there, what's going on is it's truly horrific. When you see what they're writing, this is almost unprecedented in a way, in how fast it came down on people in the Hurricane Helene response. It's almost as if Hurricane Helene was running along in the Gulf and tripped on the Florida coast and spilled her bucket of water all over the North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia. I heard 2 feet of water, 2.5 feet, come down in just over hours. But as horrific as it is, people are starting to mobilize to help themselves. Notwithstanding what Lindsey Graham saying, he's running around tired as he is. But to mobilize themselves where the government is merely failing but works to obstruct. It's not just failing to provide it, the care, the help. They're obstructing help from reaching people. And it's quite a crime, and it's an outrage. I don't know how much, I wasn't going to cover much of this at all. I'm just going to talk a little bit more about it. This guy just outrages me. I listen to what he's saying. To come out and support Israel first, and not his own state. I mean, please. What else do I need to hear from the guy? And we also hear him say, Lindsey Graham financially preferring to support foreigners over the Americans. FEMA has said it doesn't have enough disaster funds to make it through the hurricane season. I'm a bit torn about this because that's federal aid. We really should be looking at the states. The states should be fortified for themselves. But in this case, those funds are available. FEMA said they can't make it through the whole hurricane season. But apparently, they have enough funds to threaten people trying to bring aid in or block them out. If you're paying attention to who's talking about bringing the reports out. There's actually, now the most recent thing I got, there is a communication between Elon Musk and the Transportation Secretary Buttigieg, who said that if there was any problems, that Buttigieg would take care of it. Well, Elon was complaining that FEMA was hampering delivery of the Starlinks for communication that he was offering, which I had to thank him for that. That's a big deal, the communication. It's a big gift. Even though he's the richest man in the world. I mean, that's a big gift. That he was having trouble getting them in. His engineers could not get in because he was being stopped by FEMA people. And on the request back to, after Buttigieg says, let me know, he talks to Buttigieg. And since then, he's heard crickets from Buttigieg as of the time of this report that I'm talking right now. Now, why is that so hard to get out of the way by the federal government, that they stand into it? FEMA also says they're delivering necessities. What they don't explain, it seems, and what I've heard and read and seen myself, is that the deliveries are from preferred vendors. FEMA tells us, wherever you see it, that they don't accept private donations. So these are preferred vendors. And if they're not up to speed or they don't have it or you've got to wait on them, that's all you're going to get. Well, there's lots of help wanting to come in. So it's time to get FEMA out the way. Just get them out the way. And I've heard it's beginning to happen. People are taking initiative. Yet they're being threatened, like a helicopter pilot. But I wanted to look at this because I didn't, again, you know, I get into looking at the history of weather. This was really catastrophic. I don't know if I've heard anything hit so hard and so fast in my lifetime. And so I'm interested in the weather part of this. Why? Because we know, as I've been talking about these agendas that come, they use those as excuses to beat us down. Here, an episode of weather event comes and just washes us away. It's best to start understanding the truth of that. So I was looking at the cause of this flood, which topped the multiple tropical storm caused flood of 1916. So you're just past the 100-year part here. I've heard a lot of ideas as to what caused this disaster. You know, for instance, the weather modification timed just right. And it was for a reason, at least one reason, they're saying. It was essentially land theft for lithium mining in the area, in the Appalachian Mountains. By the way, there's the climate change, don't you know, as well. But I don't lean on weather modification until there's much better evidence, partly because this sort of flood has happened before when lithium wasn't known to be a green savior. So that kind of pushes that aside. The climate change is not about the weather, though it could be about lithium, because climate change, you know, is not about the weather. So, we need to keep that part maybe under scrutiny. The Barron and Bankster land grabs that are going on also has a precedent. So, I don't want to disregard that, but to say this much water coming out of the atmosphere was a weather modification for that, I'm not so sure I want to jump to. Well, I'll keep it out there to keep a tab on it. What I want people to remember is, again, want to keep reality going. Don't get lost in the hype. Remember, I was talking this summer, and for a good reason, maybe for now. Remember the El Nino, for you Spanish-speaking people, but for those of us, El Nino just ended in spring. It just ended this spring, just months ago. And that naturally reoccurring event puts a lot of water in the atmosphere globally. And that takes a bit of time to ring back out. And this is what I don't think people quite appreciate. And notice these last months of this summer, the disastrous floods all around the world going on at this point. So I'm wondering now, and I don't have the time and the ability to go back, but I'm wondering now if the 1916 storms followed another El Nino, and whether or not there is a lesson for us to learn to avoid the next one coming. Maybe closer, paying attention to El Nino a little bit. Maybe the barons and banksters already have, and maybe that's what I say, we hold out the possibility, but I'm going to hold that Occam's razor. I'm going to think that El Nino has put so much moisture in the air and the condition was just right that Helene dropped her big bucket right on Georgia and the Carolinas and Tennessee, at least. That seems to be the worst of it all. And I would hope we can take a lesson from that for the future. And those of you that are in these watersheds that are made like this, watch where you put your houses. And if you're in there and there's another thing coming along and you've seen this pattern, really get the heck out before you're told. This came so quickly. Anyway, my prayers are with all the people in America Southeast. The people are mobilizing to help themselves. I hope that continues. Again, I've heard some horrific stories. I mean, mind-boggling type stuff. What the power of Mother Nature and how frail we are. You want to talk about what real resilience is? It's people coming together for themselves. Notwithstanding what the joke called FEMA is all about. And I think that would be the biggest lesson for us also, is that Senator Lindsey Graham is just despicable. The government's not going to be there for you. Immediately learn how to come together to help yourselves. As I'm thinking about this through, as I'm thinking, this is just a terrible, terrible condition, but I do want to mention. For those of you that are being stopped by officials, in particular the federales, you should consider finding the federal emergency policy for this type of disaster. And also notice Biden in his saying the disaster is to help. The help is being provided to local governments. That's another clue as to what I'm talking about. And I've talked about this before as well. Despite that FEMA appears to be getting in the way or taking the lead, you read the policy, and this is a lot like what I talked about, the National Wildfire Policy, which we found and read and I studied, and I came up with a white paper essentially for us in the West. And it explains, and consistent with the 10th Amendment, that the ultimate authority for dealing with a disaster lies with the local or county government. And Biden, when you listen very carefully, he's saying that we're helping local governments. When we hear on the ground, FEMA stands in the way. So when you find that reservation in that the ultimate local authority is in that county government, you will be able to regain control locally and put the obstructive federal management out to pasture, essentially. The sheriff then can monitor for the peaceful and most importantly, the safe way to bring the aid in without the federal interference as well and keep that away. And I bring up the safety because too many people who mean well can cause more trouble, even just due to the unfamiliarity of an area. And so bring the help, but be the help. And for those of you that are coming and helping, pace yourselves. And I'm kind of speaking a little bit from the experience of wildfires here and being in emergencies for any length of time. Get your rest. Take your breaks. Don't become the next emergency, like a trucker, for instance, pushing himself or herself too far, that falls asleep at the wheel. That helps nobody. So additionally, I've heard said, a local fire chief was threatening to arrest a helicopter pilot from rescuing and bringing further aid that took it on his own initiative to take it, and a lot of them are doing that, which is great. Great to hear. Super serious, super dangerous, but these guys are pretty capable, so for them, their sakes, their skills should keep them ahead, but they need organization as well, that they're putting it together. But anybody wants to stop something like that, check your state law for this. But I believe the fire chief or any authorita like him needs to be relieved of their command at that point for being at least a public nuisance. or even arrested for at least attempted manslaughter, a criminal neglect under color of authority. Remember, mandatory is a suggestion when faced with the necessity or prior existing rights. You may have to answer for that, but that is the defense when you have that understood. So study that to confirm that and put it, that condition, and put that word in your mouth if you need to. If you're aiding the need, but someone obstructs that mitigation effort, have that authority in you to say so. And I've talked about what we've done relative to fire closure. So understand what's required. And you don't have to put up with a local official. The so-called professionals are not the only authority. And to help, as you're helping out yourselves there, regain that local authority, regain that sovereignty. And I don't say that your local officials are bad, but if you find that they are, you got to move quick around them. And I'm encouraged a bit that people are stepping up. I'm encouraged of the insight and the intention to help regardless. And you're going to need that. Because it appears that there's lots of excuses made at the federal level. I don't understand it myself. But the law is written and the policies are that the Constitution and the 10th Amendment does exist and it is recognized. And you just have to find that. Like I said, the National Wildfire Policy said so right in the day. I just take out the black and white and said, here, this is what the local authority is right here. You don't have to listen to people who manage a disaster. You stop it. As a local official, you can stop the disaster. You can mitigate it quicker. I hope something I said instructs an intention in you to help out if you didn't know that already. I'm not talking like I'm smart. I'm talking if you don't know. And these people, because a lot of people were getting stopped, so they didn't know. Now spread the word about this. Protect yourselves. Look at this in the future. Look at the austerity that's brought on. Look at how they continue that. This is the future plan for us. But we got it. That's what they want for us. Do we want that for us? You can go to https://ko-fi.com/real_liberty_media. Please donate. This has been BTWRLM 597. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips or Nature Willing.
It goes cold, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn. Dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. Hal's words ignite. Truth.
the sun sets, the truth still reigns in house words, freedom sings. Join us next week, heed the call, behind the woodshed standing tall.